Today I'm joined by Danny Bartlett, Quality Assurance and Governance Lead.
Quality Assurance Lead for DPPs for the Independent Prescribing course at the University of Brighton.
Becoming a DPP is really, really key to you unlocking an extra layer in your potential. And in terms of any training and things like that, there's obviously an NHS England funded training.
Hi everyone and welcome back to our DPP Connect podcast series. My name is Holly Lawrence and I'm your host today. And today I'm joined by Rahina Kassam, my co-host, and Danny Bartlett, who is a Quality Assurance and Governance Lead for our DPP Finder Service and DPP Lead for the University of Brighton. Danny and Rahina, welcome back to the podcast again. Pleasure to have you here.
Hi.
Hi Holly, it's great to be back.
So DPPs at the moment are a very hot topic, especially as there is a shortage of DPPs across the UK. So today we're going to be discussing everything you need to know about how you can become a DPP and support the next generation of independent prescribers and also join our network, which is the largest network of DPPs across the UK. So first and foremost, Danny, can you explain what a DPP actually is?
So it stands for Designated Prescribing Practitioner. The best way to think of it is almost the guide and the supervisor for someone that is undertaking the prescribing course and wanting to become an independent prescriber. So really a supervisor and a mentor, but also someone that is experienced in prescribing, very patient facing, and is able to kind of give that trainee exposure to what prescribing practices are, and can be in a variety of different scopes and settings, can be in hospital pharmacy, community pharmacy, or could be in general practice. So a real variety of DPPs can exist, but the kind of central totem and goal is to improve prescribing practice in that trainee.
Perfect. And I've heard two different phrases. So there's DMP and DPP. Is there a difference between them or are they sort of interchangeable?
They're interchangeable in the way that I view it personally. I mean, a designated medical practitioner or a DMP would be only someone that's a medical professional, so a GP, for example, but a DPP is a designated prescribing practitioner, which could be anyone that is an active prescriber. So a DMP could be also be seen as a DPP, but you can't have a DMP that isn't a medic or a GP is probably the best way to explain it. I think the easiest way is just DPPs. Don't complicate it. It's just DPP is a DPP.
Perfect. That makes sense. And could you explain a little bit about the requirements to become a DPP?
Yeah, so I think you have to be in a patient-facing role, as I said. You have to be an experienced prescriber. And what that means, there used to be kind of old-fashioned recommendations where you had to be a prescriber 3 years. But actually, if you think about it, a prescriber that is in a really active prescribing role that may have only been a prescriber for 1 or 2 years is still going to be a really valid supervisor for a prescribing trainee. So I don't think there's a time period that is kind of a minimum expectation. All that I would ask from a DPP is that they've got active patient-facing role, they're experienced in prescribing practices, and they're also experienced in kind of taking trainees and knowing how to guide a trainee when they're in difficulty, but also being able to kind of support and supervise someone at various stages in their learning career.
Okay, perfect. I have heard that some universities do specify having 3 years prescribing experience as a requirement. So do you have any sort of specific advice for those that perhaps have 1 to 2 years of experience that really want to become a DPP?
Definitely put yourself down for those universities. So it wasn't a specific requirement by the GPHC, which is our regulator. It was kind of taken from the Royal Pharmaceutical Society DPP framework, which was a recommendation, not an absolute. So actually quite a lot of the universities aligned and said it was an absolute requirement to have at least 3 years prescribing. But actually that has been softened. Certainly in the University of Brighton, that's a softened thing now. But they still have to be appropriate. So we wouldn't have any DPPs that we didn't feel were appropriate. And actually, if you think about it, you can have an inappropriate DPP that's been prescribing for 5 or 10 years. So the years is kind of a number for no reason. It's actually whether they're an appropriate supervisor for that trainee or not.
Absolutely. So for those that want to become a DPP with DPP Connect, Rahina, can you explain a little bit about the process involved?
Yes, absolutely, Holly. So DPP Connect was actually made to match DPPs with potential IP students that are struggling to find DPPs because of the shortage. For a DPP to enroll, we would say go to www.dppconnect.com dppconnect.co.uk, where we have a simple sign-up process to become a DPP. So first you should register your details, and then you'll be taken through to a video interview stage, which shouldn't take you any more than 15 minutes to sign up. This will check your suitability for the role, and once successful and approved as a DPP, our training coordinator will then reach out to you to kind of confirm your availability and to get your slots ready. Once your slots go live on our website, a student is then able to book in with you. And once they have booked in with you, our training coordinator will match you to the student directly.
Perfect. Thank you, Raheen. That's a good summary. So in terms of the DPP finder service, why would you say a DPP would choose this particular service over any others?
For us, all of the students that are accepted via our DPP finder service have been interviewed and vetted, as well as supplied with over £1,000 worth of training, equipping them with the knowledge of how to use the GP practice systems and software, as well as the clinical side of knowledge around the long-term chronic condition areas. We also help support DPPs by reducing the workload burden on the DPP, taking away their admin hard work off the university forms. We believe that the DPP should focus on mentorship and not sitting there teaching the basics of how to use the systems and writing up consultations, but focusing on the core clinical work. When students are untrained before the learning and practice period, it can lead to students losing valuable time with their DPP and the DPP wasting time by teaching them the skills that they could have learned beforehand. So we act as an independent body between the student and the DPP, providing support to both parties throughout the learning and practice period with the support of our dedicated training coordinator.
Yeah, absolutely. So given the support we provide to both DPPs and students, do you think there's any implications with DPPs finding their own students and dealing with them directly?
So some universities do not accept students that pay for the DPPs directly, so it can be seen as a conflict of interest. And if students are directly paying for the DPP service, they can be effectively seen as being paid to be signed off as competent. So we act as an independent third party to kind of bridge this gap and ensure that the students are signed off based on merit rather than being signed off based on remuneration.
Perfect. And speaking of remuneration, what is the remuneration for the DPP for their time and their expertise, Rahina?
So it's at least £1,200 as a minimum via our service.
Perfect. So Danny, do you have any advice for people that are potentially thinking about becoming a DPP? And is there any training that you are aware of that they can undertake as well?
I think it's really important. I think if you're a pharmacist that's kind of practicing at a senior level and prescribing, I think the next stage in any senior pharmacist development really is to make sure that you're supervising and you're used to trainees and you're good at training the next generation of pharmacists. And I think being a DPP isn't necessarily something that everyone wants to do, but I think from my point of view, it's definitely something that people should at least try once. And I think that training the next generation and actually helping people go from a non-prescribing pharmacist to a prescribing pharmacist is really, really rewarding. But also, I think it improves your own knowledge as well. Certainly when I'm showing people things, I tend to learn stuff myself, often buttons on the surgery system that I didn't even know existed. But actually, that really helps me grow as a pharmacist. So supervising the next generation, supervising a trainee really helps me develop as well. So actually, when you're looking and you feel like you've hit a bit of a glass ceiling, you feel like you've done all the courses available to you, becoming a DPP is really, really key to you unlocking an extra layer in your potential. And in terms of any training and things like that, there's obviously an NHS England funded training through ProPharmace, and it's specifically designed for DPPs, and that will help guide you to the skills that you need to be a DPP. And I think it's really important that we don't try and work in silos, we don't reinvent the wheel. And if there is fantastic training that's been commissioned, we're happy to signpost people to that. We're really facilitating that matchmaking service, but also giving a bit more confidence and being that separate third party. So A, people won't be extorted, which I definitely have seen and heard of, but also you can feel a bit more comfortable and confident that you've got an extra bit of support and layer of support when you've got that DPP that's already been kind of vetted on the system.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think one concern a lot of people have is that DPPs or being a DPP is perceived as being sort of quite heavy on the workload. Rahina, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that there is a big misconception amongst DPPs that the student that they take on has to become a mini GP. and be competent in all areas, so minor ailments, dealing with acute care, when the reality is they only really need to focus on one area, which will be their scope of practice, and really own in on that area and know the clinical aspects and prescribing within that area and the guidelines and build up the competency in that area to be comfortable prescribing. So I think what we do is we actually clinically support the students with the training through our training courses, as well as giving them a support network of senior clinical pharmacists to help support them, like kind of build up within that scope of practice that they're aiming to acquire.
Perfect. Thank you, Rahina. So if anybody's listening that's potentially interested, can you explain a little bit about how they can sign up?
Yep, as mentioned previously, they would go to our website and go to www.dppconnect.co.uk, where we have a really simple sign-up process.
Thank you. So thank you, Danny and Rahina, for your time. Hopefully it's been an informative session and hopefully we've addressed all your concerns. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Holly.
Thanks, Holly.